Man, it's great to be here tonight. Thank you so much for the gift basket that I received. And as soon as I saw the chocolate peanut butter love crunch granola, I knew you guys had really done your homework, because that is like my favorite thing in the world. And there were chocolate peanut butter cups in there, bananas, everything. I really appreciate all that. And it's great to spend some time with Brother Romero this afternoon, get to see a lot of familiar faces tonight, meet some new people. It is great to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me and having me come. The title of my sermon tonight is What It Means to Be a Fundamental Baptist. What does it mean to be a fundamental Baptist? And the verse I want to focus on in Psalm 11 is verse 3, where the Bible reads, If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So the word fundamental comes from a word meaning foundation or foundational. Now let me just give you some dictionary definitions to get us started tonight. I looked up the word fundamentalist in the dictionary, and it said an adherent of fundamentalism, a religious movement characterized by a strict belief in the literal interpretation of religious texts. Translation, people who actually believe what the Bible says, all right? And then I looked up the definition of fundamentalism, and it said strict adherence to any set of basic ideas or principle. Now, what does adherence mean? It means that you're sticking with something. You're not going to move. I mean, it means you're going to be steadfast. Amen? You're going to strictly be attached to the founding principles of Christianity. You're holding fast to the Word of God. You're holding fast the faithful Word. Amen? And you're not going to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, carried about with whatever doctrines are popular and just changing with the times. No, fundamentalism is strict adherence to any set of basic ideas or principles. In this case, the ideas and principles found in the Word of God. So this is what it means to be a fundamentalist. We actually believe the Bible. We're going to stay with the Bible. We're going to adhere to the Bible, not loosely, but strictly. Meaning that we're not going to take liberties with it, try to bend the Word of God as much as we can. No, we just want to go with what the Bible actually says. And we're not going to change with the times. We're going to stay with the fundamentals. It means that we're not wishy-washy, but that rather we are steadfast. Then I looked up the dictionary definition of fundamental, the noun fundamental. What is a fundamental? Because we can think about the fundamentals of math, or the fundamentals of science, or the fundamentals of grammar, right? Anything has fundamentals. So, number one, a fundamental is serving as or being an essential part of a foundation or basis, basic, underlying, fundamental principles, the fundamental structure, right? These are just the basics, the understructure, the foundation. These are the fundamentals, right? Also, fundamental, the adjective means of, relating to, or affecting the foundation or basis. Number three, being an original or primary source, okay? And of course, the Bible is our foundation. It's our original or primary source of our faith. And then number four, a basic principle, rule, law, or the like that serves as the groundwork of a system, essential part. So certain things are coming up over and over again in all these different dictionary definitions that I'm hitting you with. Words like the foundation, the basis, the groundwork, right? Something at the bottom of it, something that's essential. It's not optional. It's something that we must have, right? These are the fundamentals. And to be a fundamentalist means you're not going to budge on those things. Those essentials, those basic things, those foundational things of Christianity, you're going to adhere to those things strictly. They're not up for debate. You're not going to compromise them or be wishy-washy. That's why we call ourselves Fundamental Baptist, to differentiate ourselves from what? Baptists who are changing with the times. They are willing to bend what the Word of God says. They are not solid on the Word of God. Go, if you would, to Luke chapter number 6. Gospel of Luke chapter number 6. And while you're turning to Luke chapter 6, I'm going to read for you from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where the Bible reads in verse 10, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So the ultimate foundation is Jesus. But we have to understand that Jesus is the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Bible will often talk about Jesus as being the foundation, but then we'll also often talk about the Word of God being the foundation, right? Because Jesus is God's Word made flesh. Amen. Now, if you would look at Luke 6, verse 46, the Bible reads, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And boy, isn't that a message to the churches of America, to the churches of the world? You know, if Christ would speak to them today. "So you're calling me Lord," which means master or boss, but then you're not doing what I say. "Whosoever cometh to me," verse 47, "and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." There is constantly a stream of false doctrine that's coming at us from the world that we live in. The devil deceiveth the whole world. We even hear this term, mainstream, right? Because there's a certain flow of what's popular or what's trending, what people think in the day that we live in. And the Bible tells us that if we hear God's word, if we hear the sayings of Jesus Christ and do them, then we are built upon a rock. If we have a church that not only hears God's word, but actually follows God's word, that church is like a man who digs deep and builds on a rock and has a solid foundation. But the Bible says if we hear the word of God, but we don't do it, we don't take heed to it, we don't strictly adhere to it, we don't follow it, then we're like a man who just builds on the earth with no foundation. He just starts putting up walls and puts a roof and builds with no foundation. And the Bible says here that when the stream beats vehemently on that house, I mean, it's going to fall immediately. And that's what we see today. That when the barrage of trendiness and false doctrine and what the world considers right or what mainstream Christianity of TV preachers and radio preachers accepts hits them, you know, they're just going to get on board with it right away. I mean, if it means, you know, accepting the sodomites, come on in, sodomites. You know, if it means switching Bibles and getting the NIV, it's just, okay, sure, yeah, give us a totally different Bible. You know, just whatever. It's like it just immediately collapses, immediately falls. Whereas the one who's built upon a rock, the fundamentalist, the one who's got the foundation and considers the foundation just something that is not an issue that we're going to bargain over. I mean, it's just not up for debate. Well, that guy, he's not going to just be carried about with every wind of doctrine. So this is what we mean by being a fundamentalist, right? So being a fundamental Baptist is a good thing. Yeah. The world will try to demonize this. And when they hear the word fundamentalist, they think a fanatic or someone who's crazy or they're over the top or overboard. And, you know, the fundamentalist Islam, fundamentalist Christianity. Here's the thing about fundamentalist Islam. It's just real Islam. That's all that is. They're actually doing what the Quran says and believing what the Quran says. I mean, the Quran is a very violent, unethical, immoral book that teaches all kinds of garbage. And so when this kind of garbage is exposed, like, well, that's just fundamentalist Islam. Yeah, it's Islam. Yeah. The real Islam. Yeah. And by the way, fundamentalist Christianity, that's the real Christianity. Okay? So just keep that in mind. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. Ephesians chapter number 2. So don't ever think that term fundamental is a bad term. It's actually a great term. And it has to do with the foundation, being solidly built on a foundation. And think about this. If your foundation is wrong, everything else is going to be wrong. I mean, I don't care how good of an architect or engineer or builder you have. If the foundation is flawed, the house is going to come crashing down. I mean, the house is going to go bad. It's going to start breaking apart. You know, I've seen houses where it'll start to break apart because there's something wrong with the foundation and the house is just not structurally sound. What's our foundation? Well, as I said before, it's Jesus. What's our foundation? Well, Luke chapter 6 said that it was the sayings of Jesus. It was the word of God, hearing and doing the word of God. Look at Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. What's that talking about? The word of God. The apostles and prophets are the authors of the Word of God. Yeah. The Old Testament is written by the prophets. The New Testament is written by the apostles. And that's our foundation, the Bible. He says, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So the foundation is the Bible. The foundation is the Word of God. So if you have the wrong Bible, it doesn't matter what you build on that foundation, it's doomed to failure.
That's right.
So you get the NIV. You know, people have tried to tell me before, oh, this church is, they're right about everything. It's just one problem. They're using the NIV. I promise you they're not right on everything. You cannot be right on everything if you have the wrong Bible, the wrong foundation, the wrong basis. Everything's going to go bad from there.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you build on it. It's the wrong foundation. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. Oh, man, this Bible teacher online, he's great. It's just that, you know, he's off on salvation. That's the foundation. That's the very basis, right? But I've had people tell me that. Oh, he's such a great Bible teacher. Right? You know, I mean, he's got the wrong gospel. But, I mean, other than that, look, I get people messaging me, oh, I love your preaching, Pastor Anderson. Just one thing I don't agree with you. Once saved, always saved. You're going to hell. You're going to profit nothing from my preaching. You don't even have salvation. You don't even have the gospel. Look, we need to care about the fundamentals. We need to adhere to these things. We need to not be one to compromise on the Word of God, the nature of God, the Word of God. Salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, salvation by faith, eternal security of the believer. Look, these are foundational truths. The inerrancy of Scripture, the verbal inspiration of the Bible. I mean, these are things that are not up for debate. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. What's he saying here? Look, there are certain foundational things. And he says, once we've learned those things, then we're going to go on unto perfection. Perfection is the finishing touches of something, right? Perfection means completion. It doesn't mean that it's without error or without flaw. When the Bible says that someone's perfect, it's not saying that they never sin. It's saying that they're a complete person. It's an older use of the word perfect. So when the Bible says going unto perfection, he's talking about getting to the advanced level and getting into things that are not the basics or the essentials, but getting into the finer points of biblical doctrine, right? Because there are certain things that are just basic. Salvation, heaven, hell, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, you know, just basic teachings. But then you know, you start getting into really deep teachings of the Bible and, you know, the finer points of end times Bible prophecy, or you start getting into all kinds of doctrines that are not as essential or important. But you know, we want to be perfect. We want to have all of it. But he says, look, once you've laid the foundation, then you're ready to go on unto perfection. Meaning, you know, that's when you start putting the finishing touches. Think about building a house, right? First you lay the foundation. Then you start to build the building. And then the perfection would be like when you're painting the trim around the doors, or, you know, putting little decorative crown molding, or you're putting the baseboards up, or just things that are more decorative. They're not integral to the structure of the building, okay? And just before this, if you get the context, in Hebrews chapter 5, if you flip back just a little bit, he says, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, verse 12, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So he's saying, look, you guys should be teachers, but you need the milk of the word, because you need to be reinforced in some of the basics. Your foundation needs work. And then he says, okay, after we get that right, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith order, because you already have that. You already have that foundation. We're not going to lay that again. Now, you know, we're going to move on into perfection. We're going to get into deeper doctrines and into things that are a little more nuanced, okay? But what am I trying to say here? Look, if you don't have the foundations right, you're not ready to move on. It would be sort of like if you're in third grade and you just haven't mastered the multiplication tables. You don't just say, well, I'm just going to move on anyway and get into geometry. I'm going to get into trigonometry. I'm going to get into pre-calculus and calculus. Right? If you have not mastered arithmetic, you're going to completely destroy algebra, trigonometry, geometry, calculus, right? I mean, you have to have the foundations right. You must master adding, subtracting, multiplying, dividing. You must master fractions and decimals before you even think about moving on to trigonometry or algebra 2 or something like that. I mean, think about it. What if you missed some things at the beginning? You're doomed. You will fail every single test. You will get every single problem wrong because adding, subtracting, multiplying, dividing, fractions, decimals are so essential to everything else you're going to do. Okay, well, this is what the Bible is saying here. If you don't have the doctrines of Christ down, if you don't understand the basics of Christ is born of a virgin, you know, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, salvation is by faith, it's not of works, there's heaven, there's hell. I mean, if you don't have the basics, if you don't even have the right Bible, you don't even know who Jesus is, well, then you're not ready to go on into perfection. You're not ready to study the depths of Bible prophecy. You're not ready to start delving into the Greek and Hebrew and going into all the sacred names. And, you know, people want to get into all this exotic doctrine, but you've got to have the right foundation. This is what we mean by being fundamental. We're fundamental Baptist.
Amen.
It means we don't just get off on some crazy rabbit trail without first laying down, okay, who is God? Who is Jesus? Where's the Bible? How do we get saved? What's heaven? What's hell? The basics. We've got to have them solid and firm. And once those are rock solid, now let's move on to the next thing. What are some of the basics? Repentance from dead works and a faith toward God. Notice it doesn't say repent of your sins.
Amen.
Repentance from dead works. The works-based salvation. The works that people are doing to try to get themselves into heaven. I think a good way to explain it is like this. Dead faith is faith without works. Right? Because the Bible says faith without works is dead. Dead works are works without faith. You know, it's where people don't have their faith in Jesus Christ, but they're doing works to try to get into heaven. They're working. You have to repent from dead works and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. So you can't trust in you going to church, doing penance, going to the confessional booth, you know, doing good deeds, turning away from this and that and this and you know, those are all works. And that can't save you. You got to repent from dead works, turn from dead works, and put your faith toward God. And then he says the doctrine of baptisms. You know, the doctrine of baptisms, according to the Bible, is a basic doctrine. What is that doctrine? Look, it's not hard, folks. It's you're dunked underwater for crying out loud. And yet, there are Bible teachers out there, preachers, pastors, priests, whatever they call themselves, who will sprinkle a baby and call it baptism. Wrong foundation. Wrong foundation. See, the fundamentalist says, hey, that's a deal breaker, buddy. When you're sprinkling babies, you don't even understand one of the most basic foundational doctrines of the Bible. Jesus, when he was baptized, came up straightway out of the water. When Philip baptized the eunuch, they went down, both of them, into the water, and he baptized them. John was baptizing in Anon near to Salem because there was much water there. Right? We're buried with him by baptism into his death. So when these Protestants come along and come at you with their baby sprinkling teachers of John Calvin, Martin Luther, or whatever, you know what? They should be immediately rejected out of hand. Every baby baptizer should be immediately rejected out of hand.
Amen.
Oh, but John Calvin had a lot of great teaching. Rejected. Reject. 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 Just stamp them all reject. And you know what? These bunch of Reformed Baptists today, right? The James Whites and the Jeff Durbins. Dirtbin is what I call him. And all the other false teachers. I know them because they're in Tempe now, both of them. James White has now moved his headquarters to Tempe, all right? So, you know. I mean, we got Pastor Polka Dot. We got Dirtbin. We got James White now in Tempe. I mean, what? I mean, all of hell has just come to assault us, but the gates of hell are not going to prevail against us. Amen? But anyway, you know, these guys, what are they doing? Where are they getting their Reformed theology? They're getting it from a bunch of baby baptizers, a bunch of baby sprinklers. So then they're like, Reformed Baptist. So what they're trying to do is take the baby sprinkling theology of Calvin and Zwingli, and then what are they trying to do? Just put a Baptist label on it, dunk it underwater, and call it good. Well, you know what? A good tree doesn't bring forth evil fruit, and a corrupt tree doesn't bring forth good fruit. And so these theologians that are baby sprinklers, I don't care whether they're Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, should be rejected out of hand.
That's right.
And we need to go with a doctrine that's built on the right foundation of baptism by immersion, believer's baptism. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And this Reformed Baptist movement, all it is just Protestantism, baby sprinkling, Catholic light, Lutheran reform, dressed up like a Baptist. Or dressed up like a fag in Dirtbin's case. Anyway, somebody just sent me a video a couple days ago of Pastor Dirtbin, and he is in Dublin, Ireland, wearing Elton John glasses with a ring on his thumb like a homo, and he's standing outside the Guinness factory where they make the beer, Guinness. Who knows what I'm talking about? And he's like, oh, this is such a blessing. And this man, Guinness, was a godly Christian. And he helped so many people by brewing this beer and making this beer. And it was such a blessing to people because they were drinking stuff that was even harder liquor. So he got them on something with a little less alcohol in it. Amen. You know, so, oh, you know, what a godly man. And he basically is saying how there's just all these wonderful godly Christians. Everywhere I go, it's so Christian. Hey, idiot, it's Roman Catholic.
Yeah.
What happened to the Reformation, buddy? I thought the Pope's the vicar of hell.
Right.
But they've got this, you know, Roman Catholic beer maker. Oh, so wonderful, so godly. You can't even make this stuff up. Folks, Catholic Ireland, that's not Christianity, folks.
Right.
That's Roman Catholicism. That's paganism. We don't believe in that stuff. And then he starts teaching his, you know, post-millennial doctrine how, you know, this beer maker, he got a He got a 9,000-year lease on the building. So Dirt Bin tells us, you know, when Frank Guinness got the lease on his building to make this wonderful brewery for the glory of God, brewing beer for the glory of God. You know, I passed Coors a little earlier today. I was thinking about getting out and making a video about, like, oh, we're on holy ground, folks. God's going to put on some red sunglasses and be like, dude, we're on holy ground. This is Coors. What a blessing to people. So they don't have to shoot up heroin. They can just drink Coors. You know? But anyway, he's talking about how this Frank Guinness got a 9,000-year lease on the building. And he's using that to show, see, Christians back then, they didn't think Jesus was coming soon. They weren't expecting, you know, Christ's second coming to just come. They knew that we have to conquer the whole world with the gospel first, and then the resurrection is going to happen. So he's teaching this thing like we're bringing in the kingdom. Like Christianity is going to take over, and then the resurrection is going to happen. Look, they're just getting people ready for the Antichrist. Because what's going to happen when the Antichrist comes? They're going to take over the whole world with their false version of Christianity, their false version of the Messiah, the Antichrist?
Yeah.
What does Antichrist mean? In the place of Christ. Many will come in my name saying, I'm Christ. So the Antichrist is going to claim to be who? Christ. He's the imposter. And you know what? That's what's actually coming, friend.
Yeah.
Do you think this world is getting more and more Christian and then eventually the resurrection is going to happen? Is that what you think?
No.
No way. This world is getting less Christian. The United States is getting less Christian. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. And you know, I was talking to one of these guys with this screwed up end times doctrine that we're bringing in the kingdom. They're bringing in the Antichrist kingdom.
That's right.
But this thing that we're bringing in the kingdom, and, you know, he's trying to hit me with all his preterist view or whatever they call it. I don't know whether they do full preterism, partial preterism, postmillennialism, amillennialism, you know, all these different squirrely views. I forget which one this guy espoused, but he's coming at me with all this stuff. And I said, just stop for a minute. I said, just stop. Just think about this for a second, sir. I said, you don't see a one world government forming? You don't see that we're heading toward, with the United Nations and with the current policies, a one world government that is being put together by dark forces, and that the Antichrist is going to be put in power, that the mystery of iniquity is already at work? Don't you see it? And he said, actually, you know, that's a pretty good point, because actually you do kind of see that happening. But not according to Dirt Bin. According to Dirt Bin, we should get our theology from a Roman Catholic beer maker. I mean, hey, he got a 9,000-year lease? Case closed. Well, let's just close our Bibles and go home. Forget that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. This guy got a $9,000-year lease on his brewery. You can't even make this stuff up. But yet, their followers eat this stuff up with fork and spoon. Look at the video. It has hundreds of likes from all the drunkards that love this pro-beer doctrine, praising Guinness, praising the wicked, praising Catholicism. This is what's going on today. And look, they don't even have the foundation of baptism right. Sprinkling. Well, Dirt Bin doesn't sprinkle. Yeah, but all of his heroes sprinkle. All of his theologians that he bases his beliefs on are sprinklers. I don't want to get my doctrine from a baby sprinkling Catholic or Protestant or anybody else. The doctrine of laying on of hands, the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead, the doctrine of eternal judgment. So these are basic things, right? Turning from dead works, faith toward God, that has to do with salvation. The doctrine of baptisms, that's the first step of obedience after salvation. Laying on of hands, that's blessing people and ordaining people into the ministry so that they can go out and preach the word of God, and that the churches can reproduce themselves and people can go out and evangelize and do great works for God. The resurrection of the dead, right? The fact that one day there's going to be a resurrection of the just and a resurrection of the unjust. The fact that there's going to be eternal judgment.
Yeah.
That's called hell.
Yeah.
Hell is a foundational doctrine.
Amen.
The eternal punishment of hell. These are the foundations. Look, people who are wrong on these foundational things are not even worth listening to. They're a babe in Christ. They have no business teaching the word about. Either they're a babe in Christ or they're a false prophet.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And obviously we know that that pastors and theologians are not babes in Christ. They're either a prophet of God or they're a false prophet.
Yeah, because
right. They're definitely a prophet of some kind. They're definitely a preacher of some kind. They're definitely a pastor of some kind. So, you know, you shall know them by their fruits.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
And so we see here that the foundations must be laid before we can move on to perfection. This is why we're a fundamentalist, because we believe that these foundations are essential. We can't move on to the next level until we get these foundations right. You're not ready to go to Algebra 2 unless you pass Algebra 1. And you're not ready to go on in any other Bible doctrine. Don't tell us about the end times until you figure out that believers get dunked underwater after they're saved. Then we'll talk about the end times. If you don't have salvation figured out, you don't have baptism figured out, you don't know that hell is real and that hell is eternal, you're not ready to talk about these other more advanced doctrines.
Yeah.
And, you know, the brewery master is definitely not qualified to teach us about end times. Okay? Go to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. What does it mean to be a fundamental Baptist? That's what the sermon's about tonight. What it means to be a fundamental Baptist. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12, "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations." And that's the part I want to focus on there. He said in verse 12, "They that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations." You see, we have, or should have, the same foundation in 2018 as they had in the previous generation, and the generation before that, and the generation before that. See, the right foundation is the foundation of many generations. We don't have some new foundation that's unique to our generation. We ought to have the same foundation that they had in the 1800s and the 1700s. Now, look, I don't need a history book to tell me what that foundation was. Because the history book's going to lie to me. The history book's going to want to emphasize all the baby baptizers and say, "Oh, this is all there was. You know, just don't worry. It was just these baby baptizers, and they fought with each other, and they're all dunking or sprinkling babies." Okay. I don't trust that history book, friend. Are you going to tell me that nobody in the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s just picked up this book and read it and actually believed what it said?
Amen.
Don't tell me that nobody in the 1100s, 1200s, 1300s didn't just open the Bible and see, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And just say, "Well, this says that whoever believes is saved."
Amen.
You're going to tell me nobody just read, "He that believeth on me has everlasting life," and just believe that? "Well, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life." No, that's new. That's a new thing. Yeah, this faith alone teaching, yeah, that's a new thing. It's amazing how many verses are so clear in the Bible that we're saved by faith, not of works, lest any man... No. Everybody was sprinkling back then. Everybody was Catholic. You know, and then our wonderful baby baptizers, Martin Luther and John Calvin, came along, and thank God they got us out of that mess. Wrong, buddy. You know that there has been a Steven Anderson and a Donnie Romero in every generation since Christ. Many Steven Andersons, many Donnie Romeros. And there have always been dirt bins and polka dots and other... Look, there's nothing new under the sun! Right? There have always been people like us. There have always been people like them. We don't need a history book to tell us what the foundation is of many generations, because we know that God's word is preserved from this generation forever. And we know that in the 8th century, 9th century, 10th century, 11th century, you know what the foundation of God's true people always was? The word of God.
Yeah.
Wow, show me that history book. Go throw your stupid history book in the trash and get a King James Bible, and I'll show you where the Bible clearly teaches what we believe. And I promise you, there's always been people like us who believed it, preached it, shouted it, and dunked converts. From the time of John the Baptist until now. I don't need the trail of blood to tell me that. I don't need a history book to tell me that. I believe that by faith.
Yeah, amen.
Oh, you don't know history. You know. Well, you know, you haven't been in a time machine to tell me what preachers were around. Because you know what? When they write the history books about our generation, you think they're going to mention Brother Romero?
Nope.
You think if somebody wrote a book called The Spiritual History of Fort Worth, The Religious History of Fort Worth, Churches in Fort Worth in the 21st Century, that they would include a chapter on Brother Romero? Do you think that the history of the United States from a religious standpoint of the 21st century would include any of us? You know who they'd be talking about? Rick Warren, Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, Benny Hinn. That's who they'd be talking about. But you know what's funny is, look at all these doors that you guys have knocked. Look at all this shaded in orange, how you guys have knocked the doors of thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people and won a lot of people to Christ.
Amen.
You know, and in Phoenix, Arizona, we've knocked the door of literally millions of people. We have 4 million people in our county. We've knocked the door of like half of it. And we're picking up speed. We're picking up momentum. I'm hoping to be done knocking all the doors in our county in the next few years. But I guarantee you that even if we knocked every door in the state of Arizona and gave every single person a chance to hear the gospel, we would never be mentioned in a history book about the churches of Arizona because they'd be too busy talking about the Dream Center. First Assembly, and they'd be too busy talking about CCV and Cornerstone and all these Living Word Bible Church and all the big charismatic churches. That's who they'd be talking about. Yeah. And if they did happen to bring up one of our churches, you know what they'd say? Oh, these horrible hate groups were there, and they just hated everybody, and they preached a lot of lies, and next paragraph, okay?
Yeah.
So why would we expect a history book from 400 years ago to tell us about the real Baptists?
Yeah. Yeah.
The real Christians, the real fundamentalists, the real people who believe the Word of God. Look, if it weren't for YouTube, our message would not be getting out on a mass scale the way it is right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the TV would never play it.
Yeah.
The radio would never play it.
Yeah.
The only reason that it gets played is because it's YouTube. Because
yeah.
It's a do-it-yourself tube, right? Because we're promoting it on there ourselves. But that wasn't available in the past. You think we're going to get our books published and put as window dressing in Borders and Barnes & Noble? It would never happen. Anything that we publish is going to be self-published, amen?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Our spiritual forefathers of the past, they preached, they won people to Christ, and I guarantee you they had a huge impact spiritually, and they're forgotten to history.
Yeah.
They're forgotten to history, okay? We are fundamentalists. What's the foundation? What's the fundament? It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. It's Jesus Christ. It's the prophets and the apostles. We've got the Holy Spirit teaching it to us. And so many of us believe the same things and independently come to a lot of the same conclusions because we got the same Bible, the same Holy Spirit. And I promise you that what we preach is the foundation of many generations.
Amen.
It is the same foundation that many generations have had. I don't need a history book to tell me that. The Bible told me that.
Yeah. Amen.
He said, you will raise up the foundations of many generations. Verse 12, halfway through, thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. So that's what it means to be a fundamental Baptist. Amen. Look, I don't know about you. I'm glad to be a fundamental Baptist.
Amen.
I think that's a great term. Are you a fundamentalist? Yes, I am.
Amen.
Yes, I am. Now, let's move on to another part of the sermon. What do people think of when they hear the term fundamental Baptist? Because I've spent the last 35, 40 minutes telling you what it really means to be a fundamental Baptist. What we mean by that. What the Bible means by that. Okay. But now the question is, what do the people out there, when they hear the term fundamental Baptist, what do they think of? Or what do you think of when you hear the term Fundamental Baptist. Because when we use that name, we're identifying ourselves by that. And the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. The Bible says a good name is better than precious ointment. And that good name means what? A good reputation. So what is the reputation of Fundamental Baptist, or what is the name that Fundamental Baptists have made for themselves? What does it mean to be a Fundamental Baptist, right? Because we can talk about what it should mean to be a Fundamental Baptist, and that's what I've been talking about this whole time. But now let's talk about what it actually means to be a Fundamental Baptist, meaning when people hear that, what comes to mind? What is it? Well, it is some good things and some bad things that come to mind. When people think of Fundamental Baptists, some of the things they would think of are good things. Some of them are bad things. When I think of being a Fundamental Baptist, what I think of is King James only, hard preaching, clothing standards, meaning that, you know, you don't expect to go to a Fundamental Baptist church and see scantily clad women and dudes dressed in effeminate clothing. You know, we actually care about the way that we look. You know, we actually think it matters how we look. Obviously, the inside is more important, but we believe that we should cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside may be clean also. So we actually have clothing standards. We don't have our wives out there dressed half naked or dressed in men's clothing, right? We have clothing standards. I mean, a lot of people, when they think of Fundamental Baptist, they think of that. They picture a woman in a long skirt. You know, that's one of the things that they think of. And I think that's a good thing, okay? Another thing that people would think of is conservative music. When you think of a Fundamental Baptist and you go to a Fundamental Baptist church, you don't expect to walk in and have a rock concert, smoke and purple lights. There are a lot of churches out there today that have smoke and purple lights and a rock band, and they're not Fundamental Baptist churches, are they? That's what we would think of if we heard the word non-denominational. Community church, right? That's what that would mean. When we think of Fundamental Baptist, we think of door-to-door soul winning, right? I mean, I think of King James, hard preaching, clothing standards, conservative music, door-to-door soul winning, and obviously being in strict adherence to the fundamentals of the faith, salvation by faith alone. You wouldn't expect to walk into a Fundamental Baptist church and have them teach evolution to you. Or walk into a Fundamental Baptist church and they're not going to come at you with liberal doctrines of everybody's going to heaven and there's more than one path to get to the Lord and Islam is a religion of peace and they're our brothers. You would never hear that stuff in a Fundamental Baptist church, would you? Any Fundamental Baptist. So some of the things that Fundamental Baptists are known for are good things, okay? But let's be honest, folks. If we were to go out there and ask people what they think of when they hear Fundamental Baptists, they're going to bring up some negative things too. Some people would say uneducated and shallow, right? Yeah, Fundamental Baptists, shallow preaching, uneducated. They only use one verse when they preach. They don't preach a lot of Bible. You know, that's what a lot of people would say. Other people might think of a Fundamental Baptist and say, well, they're weak on the family. Very weak on the family. They persecute homeschoolers. They persecute people who want to keep their kids in the service. They force them to put their kid in a nursery or a children's church. They make fun of you if you have a big family. They laugh at you and jeer at you and say, don't you know what causes that? And, you know, stuff like that. That's a lot of people have been turned away from Fundamental Baptists because that's how most Fundamental Baptists, they're weak on the family. Another thing that they would think of is being very Zionist and pro-Israel, right? This is something that Fundamental Baptists are often known for. Zionism, pro-Israel, also just kind of neocon, Republican politics, just being really gung-ho with whoever the Republican guy is, whether it's Bush or Trump or whoever it is. Just whatever talk radio is saying, that's what they're saying. Another thing that Fundamental Baptists are known for is eating junk food. I mean, when you think of Fundamental Baptists, you're thinking Kool-Aid and animal crackers. Who grew up as a Fundamental Baptist eating Kool-Aid and animal crackers in Sunday school? All right, only a few of us. Okay, who grew up a Fundamental Baptist? The same exact people. All right, there we go. You know what? And by the way, I wish that these liars who say that we're sheep stealers could see an auditorium with, what, 150, 175 people in it tonight, and we asked how many of you grew up Fundamental Baptist, and five hands went up. Yeah, we're really sheep stealers. No, what about the fact that 90-some percent of the people here right now, 97% of the people here right now didn't grow up a Fundamental Baptist? We reached them and brought them in to the Fundamental Baptist movement. And they think, oh, we're sheep stealing. You know, oh, yeah, these people left our church because they moved to Steadfast. Yeah, except the only reason they even went to your church was because they were already listening to Brother Romero online. That's why they even started attending your Fundamental Baptist church. I mean, that just speaks volumes when I just asked that. Who grew up a Fundamental Baptist? There's almost no hands. The same hands who said, yep, animal crackers and Kool-Aid. Junk food. I mean, look, I remember being a Fundamental Baptist and, you know, soul winning met at McDonald's. If soul winning was in the evening, it met at McDonald's. And you ate the worst junk at McDonald's, and then you went soul winning. Or if it was on a Saturday morning, you went to the donut shop, you ate a couple donuts, wash it down with Mountain Dew, and let's go soul winning. I mean, that was what it meant to be a Fundamental Baptist. And look, let me give you an illustration about this. My sister went to a church, and she was over at the pastor's son's house. The pastor's son was on staff at the church. She's over at the pastor's son's house, and they're preparing food for some kind of a fellowship or something. And his wife had gone to the store and bought a whole bunch of supplies, and they were going to make some Mexican food. And she had bought a whole bunch of cans of corn. And she's unloading the groceries of the corn onto the counter, and she had accidentally grabbed one can that was organic. Everything else was conventional. And she picked it up, I kid you not, and said, "Organic? We don't eat this garbage," and threw it in the trash. That's what it means to be a Fundamental Baptist, right? Just thinking like, organic, this is communist, this is liberal, you know? Throw that away. I mean, you're pretty oblivious when you think that, oh man, we can't eat this organic stuff, it's poison. Pass the McDonald's, you know, give me the Kool-Aid. Give me the crackers, okay? So, and obviously it also means to be oblivious on issues like vaccines and other just health-related issues. Just totally in the dark on all things health-related. They're not going to give you, you know, chocolate peanut butter love crunch when you come as a guest preacher, all right? Thank you again. So look, there are some good things that the Fundamental Baptists are known for, but then there are also some bad things that they're known for, right? Now look, I grew up being a Fundamental Baptist. Should I just say, well, you know what? I'm just going to take the whole package deal, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm not changing anything. Nope. I want to get rid of the bad things and keep the good things. Amen. I want to hold fast to that. I want to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good and reject that which is bad. Now, one of the things that I've been attacked for by our independent Fundamental Baptist brethren who are a little nervous about people like us and our friends, they said this, and I've heard this many times, he's trying to change what it means to be a Fundamental Baptist. A lot of people have said, you know, Pastor Steven Anderson is very dangerous. He's trying to change what it means to be a Fundamental Baptist. And let me tell you something, that is exactly what I'm trying to do. Amen. You see, my goal is that someday when people hear the term Fundamental Baptist, they're going to think of us. They're going to think of churches like Faithful Word, Steadfast, Verity, Old Path. They're going to think of churches like us. And we are going to change what it means to be a Fundamental Baptist. And you know, a lot of times we're called the new IFB, and we call other IFB churches, IFB stands for Independent Fundamental Baptist, we call them the old IFB. But you know what? Eventually we're going to stop calling ourselves the new IFB, because eventually the newness is going to wear off. Amen? Yeah. So we can't call ourselves the new IFB forever. Eventually, you know what we're going to be called? Because a lot of people are like, what are you going to call yourself? You know what we're just going to call ourselves? Independent Fundamental Baptist. Because we're going to change what it means. Yep. Your fears. Oh, be very afraid. Be very afraid, because we are changing what it means to be an independent fundamental Baptist, because while the rest of the independent fundamental Baptists are afraid to put their sermons out on YouTube, they're afraid to preach from the housetops, they're afraid to get arrested, they're afraid to preach hard and get in the news and get in the face of this world and point our finger and say, thus saith the Lord. Look, they're afraid of that. They're going to become irrelevant.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going, you know, that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away.
Yeah.
And pretty soon, we're just going to be the IFB. There are going to be hundreds of us. That's what I believe is going to happen. There are just going to be hundreds of churches like ours, and their churches will be forgotten. And let me tell you something. There are so many big Baptist movements that have existed in the past that have just died. You don't even think about them anymore, right? Like, for example, think about the BBF, Baptist Bible Fellowship. You know, when I was a kid, who's ever heard of the Baptist Bible Fellowship? Okay, three people have even heard of it out of 175 people, right? Three people have heard of it. Okay. Well, when I was a kid, I mean, BBF, Baptist Bible Fellowship, that was a big thing. But it's dying. Dead. Nobody knows anymore. American Baptist Association, the ABA. General Association of Regular Baptists, GARB. You know, there are all these Baptist denominations that have sprung up, Baptist movements of the past that at one time were a fired up, growing movement. Churches were growing. Churches are being planted. Missionaries are being sent. But nowadays, if you went to these churches, it'll just be a few gray hairs left. They're running eight people that are 80, right? And there's no growth, there's no youth, and it's just dying. Oh, they're still out there. Look it up. There are thousands of these churches across America. Super tiny Baptist churches. Everybody's elderly, and they're done. They had their heyday, though. They had their glory days in the past. Look, that is exactly what would happen to the independent fundamental Baptists if we don't reinvent and restore the old paths. Are you still there in Isaiah 58?
Yes, sir.
Look down at Isaiah 58, verse 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called, watch this, the repairer of the breach. What is a breach? A breach is a hole in something. See, things get old, they decay, they get holes in them. And so a great man of God comes along and starts some fired up soul winning movement, missions movement, church planting movement, Baptist movement. And look, there have been men like that all throughout the 1700s, 1800s, 1900s. There have always been these leaders that were visionary and they're preaching the word of God and they're filled with the Spirit and they're doing great things. They start these great movements. They evangelize areas. They evangelize whole nations. Okay? But then what happens? They get old. They die. And then the next generation just ends up just fading away and just letting it die. How many times did that happen in the book of Judges?
Yeah.
Over and over again. I mean, you have these, you know, Joshua, and then it just, you know, Othniel, and then it just dies.
Right.
And then somebody else has to come along, right? And rekindle the flames. Ehud has to come along. Barak has to come along. Gideon has to come along. Jephthah has to come along. Samson has to come along. You have to have these great leaders constantly rising up and reigniting the flame, relaying the foundation of many generations. But it's not enough to just relay that foundation of many generations. We also need to repair the breach. What does that mean? That means we need to fix the holes and fix the problems. That means that we need to, yes, reignite the fire of the independent fundamental Baptist movement, but we also need to tighten it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to just say, hey, we're not going to let the independent fundamental Baptist movement die. This is the movement that we grew up in. This is the movement that reached us with the gospel. This is the movement that got us saved. We don't want to let it die. So we're just going to be exactly like they are. No, this is what we're going to do. We're going to keep the movement alive, but we're going to actually, but you know what? We found a little hole in it. We're going to plug that hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna relay the foundation for our generation, rekindle the fire in the house of God, but we're also gonna repair the breach.
Yeah.
We're gonna restore the paths to dwell in.
Yep.
So we're not going to say, let's be identical to the previous generation. We're going to take all the good things that the previous generation gave us. We're going to take the wonderful things they gave us, like the King James Bible, the hard preaching, the clothing standards, the conservative music, the door-to-door sewing. We want to keep all that intact. But, you know, we're also going to fix some of these things, like the fact that some of the preaching in the last generation was a little too shallow.
Yeah.
So we want to dig deep, right? Because if we're going to be a fundamentalist, fundamentalism has been equated with being uneducated and shallow. But what about what the Bible said? When we were going through the Bible, looking up what it meant to be a fundamentalist, do you remember when Jesus said he dug deep and built a foundation?
Yeah.
Hey, we're fundamentalists. But we're not the shallow kind of fundamentalist. We're not a fundamentalist that puts down just a little shallow concrete foundation. Oh, no. We're going to dig deep down to the bedrock and build a deeper foundation. We want to be more intelligent, more educated. We want to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And you know what? We're going to teach our people doctrine.
Amen.
We're going to teach them doctrine.
Yeah.
We're not going to say, well, you know, let me just give you a little shallow sermon. And if you want to go deep, well, here's the phone number of the Bible college.
Yeah.
They'll take you deeper.
Yeah.
No, I'll take you deeper on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
We'll take you deeper on Sunday night.
Right.
We're going to take you deeper on Wednesday night. We're going to preach doctrine. Weak on the family? Hey, we'll fix that. We're going to throw the birth control pills down the toilet. Actually, no, we're not going to do that because then they're going to contaminate the water supply. We're going to take the birth control pills and take them to one of those dispensaries where you dispose of unused drugs because we don't want to sterilize the whole stinking community by flushing it down the toilet and getting it in the water. Hey, we're going to encourage homeschooling.
Amen.
We're going to encourage people to raise their children, to keep them in the service, to have it family integrated. We're going to fix that breach of being negative toward big families and us four no more, and we're going to tighten that thing up. Amen?
Amen.
Zionist and pro-Israel? Next point. You already know we're fixing that. Junk food eating. You know what? We want to be right in all areas.
Right.
And we don't want to be gluttonous.
Right.
And we don't want to be foolish. The Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin.
Right.
So if there's food out there that we know is bad for us, I don't think that there's any controversy about certain foods being bad for you.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anybody that's going to tell us the health benefits of Little Debbie's. You know, the health benefits of eating partially hydrogenated soybean oil, artificial color, artificial flavor. You know, come on. We know what the junk is. We know what's bad for us. And you know what? If we just continue to eat junk, then you know what? That makes us foolish at that point.
Yeah.
If you know this drink's bad for me, drink it anyway. This food's bad for me, I'm going to eat it anyway. That's just stupid, friend.
That's right.
And you know what? It's going to take some preaching to fix that.
Yep.
I mean, we preach against every other sin, every other stupid thing that people do. Why don't we preach for people to be healthier, to get out and get some exercise, eat some good food, to take care of the temple of the Holy Ghost, the body, glorify God in their body and in their spirit, which are God's. You want to change what it means to be a fundamental Baptist? You better know I do.
Yeah. Amen.
I want people to think of fundamental Baptists as being people of wisdom.
Right.
People who are wise, to where they'll look and say, you know what? These people are wise. Not foolish, they're wise. Not uneducated and shallow. No, they're deep in the Word of God. Not stupid fools who just fill their bodies with junk and garbage and treat the temple of the Holy Ghost like it's a piece of trash. No, they're wise about the way they're a good steward of their body. They're a good steward of the things that they've been given by God. And we're changing what it means to be an independent fundamental Baptist. Amen? It starts with the leadership. It starts with the pastors and it starts from the pulpit. And it's a cultural change that needs to happen. We need to get away from, we Baptists love to eat, amen? You know, and get to, yeah, we Baptists, we know how to eat right, amen?
Yeah.
We have a biblical way of eating, amen?
Yeah.
That ought to be what we're saying. Boy, we Baptists love to eat quality food.
Yeah.
That's what we ought to be saying. Amen. You know, it's funny. There's a pastor friend of mine, Pastor Rocky Randall. He's about an hour outside of Kansas City in a place called Iola, Kansas. And he's really into running. He does ultra running. So he's actually run 100 miles before. He finished a 100-miler. He finished some 50-milers. And so, you know, he's really into that sport of ultra running. And that's kind of how he and I became friends, through that common interest of running and endurance sports. And so, you know, we kind of started talking and encouraged each other over the years to stay in shape. Well, he came out with this event that was called the Potluck 100. And it was 100 miles. And you can hike it, you can run it, you can bike it, whatever you'd want to do. And so, you know, we're kind of advertising it, like, you know, it's going to be really fun. And it was just like crickets. Nobody was interested, you know. So me and a couple guys from my church, we went out there. And Pastor Randall himself, and we did it on a bike. I'm not, you know, I can't go 100 miles on foot. Yeah. But, you know, I biked 100 miles. A couple of our church members did it. And then he ended up going 70 miles. He didn't make it the full 100, but he went 70 miles on foot, which is quite an achievement. But anyway, so I talked to him and I said, hey, you know, I want to do an event like that in Arizona, but just make it a little bit shorter, you know, just a little more accessible to people. So we're actually, next year, we're going to do a potluck 50 and a potluck 30, okay? So we're going to do a 50-miler on March 2nd, Saturday, and then we're going to do 30 miles on July 13th, not in Phoenix, everyone would die, but we're going to do it up in Prescott on July 13th. And you know, and again, you don't have to run it or walk it. You can bike it. And you don't have to do the whole thing. We even told people, look, you can come to the Potluck 100 and just do 10 miles. Just do 5 miles. Just do whatever you want. And there's no ego. There's no rules. There's no entry fee. There's no winner, no loser, no trophy, no ego. It's just about what? Just getting out there, pushing yourself, your own personal fitness goals, good time, a fellowship. And whatever. And it's called potluck because of the fact that, you know, you're supposed to share supplies, you know. So, you know, if you have extra water, Gatorade or snacks or whatever, you share those supplies and everything like that. And so, you know, part of the reason why I went out there is because I just thought it was great that a fundamental Baptist was actually trying to encourage people to get active and do something outdoors and do something healthy. And, you know, obviously it's a little extreme for a lot of people going 100 miles. But like I said, you know, the 50, the 30. And, I'm hoping that, you know, our 50-mile event's a success, our 30-mile event's a success, just so that maybe people will start doing this all over the country and start having a potluck 40, potluck 20, potluck 60, just for people to get together and go out and ride bikes together or go on a long walk together. And look, when I was a kid, I remember as a Fundamental Baptist when I was a kid, they would have like a 10-mile walkathon and they had a 50-mile bike-a-thon. My older brother and sister, they both went 50 miles on a bike as kids at the Fundamental Baptist Church as part of a fundraiser or something, you know. So it's nothing new under the sun. But, you know, I'm hoping this will take off. And I was thinking about, you know, everybody says, you know, he's trying to change what it means to be a Fundamental Baptist. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? We're going to change what it means to be a Fundamental Baptist. We're going to change what it means to have a potluck. I want to change the very meaning of the word potluck, so that people think of something where you're putting calories out instead of in. Now, look. Yeah, it's getting pretty quiet in here. But the point is, look. You know. And when Mrs. Romero heard that I was preaching on what it means to be a Fundamental Baptist, she said, oh, you know, you're going to be getting a lot of amens, you know. So I want amens, even on these hard points. She promised me that I was going to get a lot of amens. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. But the point is, though, look, we're not just going to continue in the error of what it means to be a Fundamental Baptist. Anything that's wrong about being a Fundamental Baptist, let's change it. Let's keep what's good and discard what's wrong. And if we're not willing to discard the things that are wrong, then let me ask you this. What better are we than people of false religions who just hang on to false doctrine and you show them and they won't listen?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Isn't it frustrating when you just show somebody Matthew 24 and they just stick with pre-trib?
Yeah.
Does that frustrate you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know what? Then that means when we're shown plain scripture, and when we are studying our Bible and we see that something that we grew up with is wrong, or something that we have believed as independent fundamental Baptists has been wrong, we should be ready to change on it.
Yeah.
And not just, well, bless God, I'm going to stick with what the old men have taught. And if it was good enough for J. Frank Norris, if it was good enough for R.G. Lee and Brother Rice and Brother Roloff, you know, give me that old time. Look, buddy. Every generation needs to reevaluate. Reevaluate, folks. Keep the good stuff and throw out the bad stuff. Amen?
Yeah.
That's what it means to be a fundamentalist. A fundamentalist doesn't mean that we look at what the old generation built and we just start building on top of it. No, you know what we do? We dig down and find that foundation again.
Yeah.
Okay, let's dig down and find the foundation for ourselves.
Yeah.
Because we're fundamentalists. We're not people who build on top of fundamentalists. We're the fundamentalists, so we go all the way to the source.
Yeah.
We dig deep. We're not just going to say, well, I just trust that a guy 100 years ago dug deep. No, I'm going to dig deep myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to check the foundation myself. I'm going to reevaluate the foundation in 2018, and I'm going to dig in and find it for myself. We need to dig in and find it for ourselves and rebuild the old paths and the old waste places. Go to Ecclesiastes 10:18. Ecclesiastes 10:18. What am I trying to say tonight? Well, what it means to be a fundamental Baptist is a very good thing when we talk about it in theory from the Bible. Then what does it actually mean to be a fundamental Baptist? Some of it's good, some of it's bad. We want to change what it means to be a fundamental Baptist to where it's all good.
Right.
It's all biblical.
Yep.
And the other major point that I want to make tonight, don't miss this, is that every single generation must seek the Lord for themselves.
That's right.
And you children that are listening to me, you young kids, even if you're 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, 11 years old, you need to realize right now that mom and dad's faith is only going to take you so far.
Yeah.
Grandma and grandpa's faith is only going to take you so far. You must be a fundamentalist. You must decide to get your own walk with God and that you will seek the Lord yourself. And someday, Pastor Anderson's going to be gone. Pastor Romero's going to be gone. And you know what? Someday, when we're gone, somebody else is going to have to stand up and not just say, well, let's just keep on sustaining what they built. No, no, no. Somebody's going to have to rise up and say, I'm going to build something.
Yeah.
Amen.
Folks, how many times do you have to read it in the Old Testament? There's a good king. They do right in the sight of the Lord. They have great revival. And then what happens? The next generation does evil.
Yep.
They do good, they do evil. They do good, they do evil. They do good, they do evil. I mean, how many times? It's just over and over and over and over and over.
Yep.
So, I don't know about you. I believe that the previous generation did a lot of great things for God. Right? You know, that's why that's how we got saved. I mean, they reached us with the gospel. They reached my grandparents and parents and me with the gospel. But if we just kind of let that ride and coast on that, then we'll be that evil generation. And you know what? Most of the IFB, that's what they're transitioning into right now, an evil generation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is where you see them coming out of independent fundamental Baptist schools and churches, and they're putting on, the men are putting on the pink shirt, the polka dots, the skinny jeans. They're bringing in the worldly, effeminate, sensual music, and they're just hanging around with a bunch of non-denom people. They're not preaching the right doctrine. They're just kind of a Jesus follower. They're not a fundamental Baptist. Look. We've got to be different than that.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is we're starting a movement within a movement. What we're doing is we're revitalizing and keeping the independent fundamental Baptist movement alive. Not letting it turn into this soft, watered down, faggoty thing
yeah.
that a lot of people are turning it into.
Yeah.
And not letting it turn into a church that says, bless God, we're going to stay the same. All eight of you are going to stay the same until you die in the next 3 years because you're all 80. You're all 90. And folks, I could take you on a tour of Phoenix of big fancy church building with a little circle of elderly people in it. No youth, no teenagers, no young families, and they're all dying.
Yeah.
And that church will die. That movement will die. That denomination will die. Okay? There must be new life. There must be new blood. You know, let's go into the typical independent fundamental Baptist church and ask them, how many of you grew up fundamental Baptist, right? It's going to be, someplace it'll be every hand in the building, sadly. Here it's almost no one. Why? Because what you see, look around this room, you know what you see here? An injection of new life. An injection of new blood. New leaders, right? Men of God popping up, starting churches, being sent out to accomplish great works for God. New life, because every generation has to push that reset button. Why? Because things are going to decay. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 10:18, by much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. Anybody who owns a home knows that that home deteriorates and you constantly have to fix things. You know, you that rent, you know, there are some benefits to that. Okay, you know, I mean, it's great owning a home. I'm for owning a home. But you know what? When you own a home, you better be ready to fix things. The air conditioning breaks. The windows are bad. The plumbing's leaking. The electrical goes bad. You know, the foundation's wrong or whatever. You know, mold. Amen? Water damage. Roof leak. You got to keep fixing that thing. Fix it, fix it, fix it. That's what we're doing. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to fix things, okay? And you young people need to stand up and be the next generation, read the Bible on your own, do great works on your own. Don't ride our coattails. You get out there and win people to Christ.
Yeah.
You get out there and preach. You know, why don't you go hop on a plane and go to some foreign country and go preach to hundreds of school children? Don't just watch it on TV. Amen? You go to Guyana. Well, we're banned from all the schools there. But look, there are another few hundred countries in the world to choose from, amen? You know, there's the whole rest of that region. Look, why don't you go to Botswana and finish the work that we started there? Why don't you go to the Philippines and be a part of the great revival that's taking place there? You know, why don't you go and do missions? Why don't you go start churches? Why don't you go and do soul winning? Why don't you study the Word of God? Why don't you read the Bible 10 times cover to cover? Young person, why don't you read the Bible 20 times, 30 times, and know what it says? And decide, you know what? I'm going to be a leader of the next generation. When Pastor Anderson's gone, when Brother Romero's gone, here am I, Lord. Send me.
Amen.
That's what we need, folks. What does it mean to be a fundamental Baptist? It means that we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and that we are following in the footsteps of men of God and women of God who have lived throughout history, and they were the ones who were constantly pushing that reset button, constantly rising up and starting something new and winning people to Christ and bringing in the new life and the new blood. That's what it ought to mean. And we ought to be strict to the Word of God, strict with what we believe, and be different, be a peculiar people, and not be carried about with all this worldly, liberal junk, but keep pushing that reset button and bringing it back to the Bible.
Yeah.
Bringing it back to the real article, not the fakes and the frauds out there. Look, I am proud to be a fundamental Baptist. That's a great name. You ought to strive to be a fundamental Baptist, and we ought to be a fundamental Baptist for the rest of our lives, and don't let them change what that means. You know, there is a time where I said, you know, man, there might come a day when I don't want to be called a fundamental Baptist anymore because it's getting so watered down. But you know what? Why would we let them take that away? Why would we let them take such a cool name?
Yeah.
Why don't you just call yourself something else? Why are you calling yourself Independent Fundamental Baptist? You're trying to change what it means. Because it's a cool name. I like it. And I'm going to use it. And you're going to have to change your name, buddy. Oh, you can change what it means to be a Fundamental Baptist. And then when people think of Fundamental Baptist, they're going to think it's post-trib. They're going to think that it hates homos. You know, they're going to think that it means it's, you know, King James is soul winning. And all that. You got it right. And you know what? I like that name, and I'm keeping it. Yeah. Right. Yes. IFB, Independent Fundamental Baptist, Fundamentalist, and if you don't want to be named the same thing as me, you're going to have to change your name.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I'm taking that name, and I'm hanging on to it because I like it. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for all of your people that are gathered here, Lord, and that are scattered abroad all over this country and all over this world, that are strictly adhering to the foundations of Christianity, strictly adhering to what the Bible actually says. And Lord, I pray that some of our critics who want to sit back and just atrophy and die with the previous generation and become that second watered down generation, Lord, I pray that you would wake them up and help them to get fired up and realize that we need to push a reset button in this country. We need to push a reset button in our churches. We need to push a reset button amongst Fundamental Baptists, Lord. Please, Lord, help us to change what it means to be a Fundamental Baptist and help us to make it more biblical, more strictly adhered to your word, more scripturally accurate. And Lord, help us to have a good name and a good reputation. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.